the last final written decisions under BRI, Broadest Reasonable, were earlier this year, believe it or not, just before COVID was probably when that transition point occurred. I know that seems a long time ago, but it wasn't. And the appellate decision is still working through the system. Today, we're going to be speaking really from a Phillips context, however, because that tends to shape the issues that practitioners have to embrace, as we'll be discussing. So there are many, many decisions in this space. Simply highlight one here. This is the orthopedics decision. It deals with implantable medical devices, rods and grasping devices for stabilizing bones and joints when they're implanted. The petitioner here contended that there were no terms that needed to be specifically construed by the PTAB. They did that in a context of other PTAB disputes, which the PTAB had construed other terms in related applications or related patents, but not a grasping member limitation. And they instead said that it didn't need to be construed and hadn't been construed in the prior proceedings. So grasping member may have already caught your attention. You know, it does seem like a classic nonce word. And, you know, as you'd probably expect, the issue of 112.6 played out. And the problem here for the petitioner was that they had argued in district court that it was a 112.6 limitation. And, you know, of course, then it needed to be informed by the structure material acts in the specification. Having not done that here, the PTAB really jumped on that, and they noted the affirmative burden on the petitioner to set forth how the challenge claims are to be construed. And that has an anchor, at least in the regs in 42.104b3. But the issues here of 112, you know, really are emblematic of the larger issue that petitioners face in maintaining the consistency with their district court position. So that's sort of a tee up on that issue. We'll get into that a little bit more in terms of some questions. The next one I want to talk about is print and publications. Joanna, would you switch to the next slide? So we're highlighting here the Hulu case. And as you know, for institution or for a final written decision, the question for current publication is one typically of public accessibility. This case actually arose in the context of a POP review, which I think Terry introduced to you a little earlier. That would have been a precedential opinion panel review. So the institution was denied by the board, and the petitioner requested that the precedential opinion panel consider the important legal issues that the case presented, and in this case, you know, reconsider and expound on those. So here are some of the questions that were presented. Were really what is the proper standard at institution for a printed publication? So it's public availability and its date. In general, you want to be thinking things like package inserts in a pharmaceutical product or maybe a thesis on a shelf in Munich. Here we were dealing with an O'Reilly series of internet book publications. But the things that were before the panel were questions of what is that standard? Is it merely laying out a prima facie case? Is there some sort of presumption that a document presented by the petitioner is a printed publication only to be rebutted during trial? Is there some heightened standard? Conventional markers like copyright dates or ISBN numbers, do those carry the day? Things of that sort, as well as is it a uniform standard? So the board answered those sort of. I mean, I think we were all looking for a little bit more bright line, clear rule. But as highlighted on the slide, the point here is the requirement to identify with particularity the evidence to establish the institution standard, that is, that of reasonable likelihood, with respect to the publicly accessible aspects, and of course, before the critical date. So rather than a bright line, really, the court did answer for, the POP panel did answer for us a few things. Mere prima facie case isn't the standard. There's no presumption. A lot of amici had requested that as the standard or suggested that. Is it a heightened standard? Well, arguably, yes. You know, as compared to a mere preponderance at trial, this is a reasonable likelihood standard, which is perhaps a little bit higher. And on the question of do conventional markers carry the day, things like copyright dates, the answer is no, not merely by themselves. They're at least on a per se basis. And then finally, I think the big takeaway was that it really depends on the context. So, you know, whether you're dealing with an IEEE publication or that the canonical package insert or thesis, it's a different standard. So then next, and this is really sort of a bookend to this, we're talking about print and publication issues and whether they serve as grounds. Of course, that anchors to the statute, which itself requires that there be patents or printed publications. So the question arises, what other things might form the basis of grounds? And I'll tell you from my own practice, always been quite conservative on this. And you know,